Guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, the Iceman, Jeff Trenopole. And as always, I'm bringing you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of Hooday Nation and the Cincinnati Bengals. Is it ever going to stop snowing? Probably not. It's February. It's supposed to be snowing. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T-Properties. T-Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right, guys, as you know, if you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. We are at 830 subscribers. That is awesome. As always, I appreciate every single one of you. Smash, thumbs up, like, subscribe, share. Tell all your friends about me. Okay. Let's get into this. Big news of the day in the NFL. J.J. Watt and the Texans have agreed to part ways. So I posted on Bengals Brigade and Hooday Nation, should the Bengals sign him? J.J. Watt, that is. Now, Watt is 32 years old. He was on a bad team last year. But Pro Football Focus has graded him at 85.5 grade with five sacks. Now, if you compare that to Carl Lawson, these are the stats compared. All right, JJ's stats from last year. Solo tackles 36, sacks 5, INTs 1. Carl Lawson, solo tackles 18, sacks 5.5, 0 INTs. My thought is, why can't we sign both? Because I don't know if JJ Watt is going to get the money that he thinks he's going to get. Now, he could take less money and go to the Pittsburgh Squealers, which would suck. And I think that's more likely what's going to happen. But people are asking me, like, you want him instead of Lawson? I'm like, no, I want both. I mean, I'll take Lawson and I'll take Shaq Barrett. I want them to add pass rushing talent. Now, the way things are going with Carl Lawson and the stuff I'm hearing, we might have to franchise tag him. I don't know. But these are all things that we can discuss with my boy, Jeremy D.
What is up?
What's going on, brother?
Not too much, man. Just kind of listening to the intro there. And, you know, you stack these guys up. I've actually got it written down here. And I think you went over it pretty well. You know, you've got J.J. Watt with five sacks. He's got a few more tackles than Lawson. But this isn't the J.J. Watt of 15. This isn't the J.J. Watt snagging footballs out of the air from Andy Dalton and ruining every chance we had to win that playoff game. He's owed $17.5 million this year before the release. I don't see J.J. actually taking a huge discount to come to Cincinnati, even though we do have the money to sign them both. We've got the money to sign Shaq Barrett. We've got the money to fix our offensive line. But when it comes to playing with your brother in Pittsburgh, and if he's going to offer some sort of nice little hometown deal, I just don't see it being with the Bengals, especially towards while he's on the downslope of his career. I just don't really know if we need him, to be honest. I know there's going to be a lot of guys out there that disagree with me, and that's fine. It's my opinion. But at the end of the day, you know what? Keep Carl Lawson. We got Rinnell Wren. A lot of people forget about him. He was pretty solid, got hurt, you know.
Got hurt.
But then again, I do want – this is one thing about J.J. Watt, and I'll switch it back over to you, brother. The last year he played healthy a full year was in 2015. So for 5 years, this guy has been getting paid big money, and he's played not so many big games, if you get where I'm going. That's another thing that worries me about J.J. Watt, as just a rumor. It's a rumor, by the way, got, you know. But that's what worries me. I just think there's more out there in the draft. I think there's more out there in free agency. And I don't know. I don't know, man. Are you in love with J.J. Watt coming to the Bengals?
I'm not in love with him. I mean, I really like the idea of him being here, because I want, you know, I want a rotation. I like when we had, and that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be J.J. Watt. It could be Shaq Barrett, and or it could be a guy we draft. I mean, we need a rotation on the defensive ends to get the quality pressure that I think we need. That's what we had when we're going to, you know, five straight playoffs. You know, we had multiple guys we could bring in. You know, I mean, Carlos Dunlap and Michael Johnson were our two, you know, beasts on the end. But we also had other guys that we could bring in to also give them a break and keep them fresh. And that's kind of like where I'm at. And I just don't see J.J. Watt, no matter where he goes, getting $17 million a year. I don't think anybody would pay him that, because of what you just said, how he was injured and he is declining and all that stuff. And one thing I will bring up, though, and I this isn't my thought. This was on Hootay Nation. Somebody posted it on there. By the way, shout out to Hootay Nation and Ohio State Bucknuts. We should be live streaming on both those right now. So shout out to both those groups for letting us live stream. But somebody posted this on Hootay Nation. And I can't think of the running back for the Buccaneers who was with Jacksonville that they signed. No, not Blunt. No, for Jacksonville.
For Jacksonville. Oh, my bad.
Jacksonville. Fournette. Leonard Fournette. There we go.
Oh, Leonard Blunt. Fournette. I get. Yeah.
Fournette. Everybody thought Fournette might have been washed up. Well, yeah. No, he wasn't their you know bell cow, but he did pretty darn good. And that's where I think J.J. Watt is at in his career. You know, I don't think he's a guy that you put out there. You know, three downs. You know, maybe I'm wrong. But if you put him in there every so often and stuff, and I'm not saying J.J. Watt, he's probably going to want to play more than that. I'm sure he wants to play more than that. I'm not saying he would, but for his health and stuff like that, it might help him in his career, longevity of his career. And somebody else said, well, he's going to want to go somewhere where, you know, he has a chance to win a Super Bowl. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be the Cincinnati Bengals, I think, because not only are we, what, $30 million under the cap?
Is that what we're? Over 40 now with the rollover. Yeah.
All right, over 40 now. We still haven't released Geno Atkins. So that's going to get even more money. So we're going to be well below the cap. We're going to have plenty of money to sign these guys, sign the draft picks and everything. Now, I'm not saying I would not overpay for J.J. Watt. I would probably overpay. If we're going to overpay for somebody, it would be Shaq Barrett. That's who I would overpay for, because the Bengals are probably going to have to if they have any shot at all getting him. Now, the other thing is, you don't sign any of them and you draft somebody in the second round, because there are guys that you can find in – the second, third round that could also be pass rushers for the Bengals. It's just a thought. And the other thing that J.J. Watt brings is, you know, the leadership and that we might need more. We only have one on the defensive side. That's Bates. We might need more guys like that. You know, like Bell's a leader, but we need more guys, like especially on the defensive line. Because, I mean, Hubbard and Lawson are two young players. J.J. Watt's been there, done that. No, he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but they have won playoff games before, something that no Bengal has done yet. So it's just, I don't know. It's just a thought that I don't think it'd be a bad idea to at least check it out. You can't just, oh, we're not going to get him. I'd at least make the phone call, you know, and say, hey, you know, what's your thoughts of coming here? You know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, what's he looking for? What? Right. What's the price tag, you know, on a – you know, 30-some-year-old J.J. Watt, who had really one of the worst years of his career, and we can blame that on coaching or whatever. But at the end of the day, you go after the quarterback, and he didn't do a very good job of that this year, in my opinion. Didn't do any better than Carl Lawson did. So,
no. That's one of our things about Carl Lawson, where he brings pressure, but he doesn't necessarily get the quarterback down. And that's what – we have to do. You have to not only get pressure, you got to get that quarterback to the ground. And that's something that has to happen.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, too, that while we're talking about J.J. Watt here, I mean, the guy was 150th in the league in tackles. He was 56th in sacks. He was 32 in forced fumbles and 94th in interceptions, which interceptions don't really matter. That's a cornerback thing. But, you know, it just I don't see a ton of difference. It worries me a little bit. I don't worry me. I'd love to have him. Don't get me wrong.
No, I'm not like somebody said here. Let me hold on, dog. I'll get to your comment here in a second. But somebody said, let me bring it back up here. It was Gamer. He said he's projected between $12 and $17 million. I give him 17 over 2 or 3 years, not per year. And I honestly,
that's what he's wanting per year, I believe.
Yeah, I can't see an NFL team give him that much money. I don't think he's going to make as much money as he was owed with the Texans. And the thing is, it's not like Watt needs the money. I mean, he's made a ton of money over his career. He's got, you know, endorsements and all this stuff. I don't think it's about the money for him. I honestly think it's either to go play with his brothers or go to a team that he thinks has a shot of winning a championship. And people are like, well, that's not the Bengals. I don't know. I disagree. I think it could be the Bengals. I mean, it just, you know, depends on what we do in free agency and everything. But once you have a guy, and I've said it a million times, like Joe Burrow, you know, it opens up a lot of stuff.
Yep.
I'll try to get back to Dog's. There you go. Dog's comment. What's up, Dog? What's your top 10 teams for college football in 2021? To be honest, Dog, I haven't even remotely looked yet, to be honest. I've been all into the offseason of the NFL, and really I've been immersing myself in that because that's really the only thing that's going on. I mean, got my Bearcats playing tonight, so I get to watch them play basketball tonight. But I have to get back to you on that later on. Not to ignore your comment, but I don't really have a good answer for you. I don't know. You got anything, Jeremy, on that one?
Yeah, you know what, man? Alabama and the Buckeyes. That's all I can give you.
You can say that. You throw Clemson in there too. I mean, those three are gonna be in the
top. Without Trevor Lawrence,
those three gonna be up there. You can do that without even.
Yeah, yeah, and them, you know, they do got a pretty good rookie, I guess, that came in and played pretty good, and yeah, top 10. Those three are my guarantees.
Gamer says, I don't think he would go to the Squealers. They don't have a lot of money, even if they're talking money from the future.
Yeah.
The reason the Squealers would have an inside track is because not one, but two of his brothers, both his brothers are playing for the Squealers. So, I mean, you got to look at it this way. It'd be a once-in-a-lifetime thing for him to do to go. I mean, how many people could say, I played on an NFL team with my two of my brothers? So, I mean, I could totally understand why he might want to go there. But, I mean, in my opinion, the Bengals have a better shot of winning this division and stuff than the Squealers do right now, because I think the Squealers are in trouble. I mean, their defense, all they got is a defense. And that's one thing they don't need. They don't need to add to their defense. I mean, they always do, but they don't need that. They need to add other things. They need to add to their offensive line, running games, you know, stuff like that. So,
exactly.
We got a new comment here.
Oh, okay. New guy or
girl. I'll just go with 513. KL Gentry, or just go KI Gentry. What's up? Welcome to the show. I'm worried we won't get a top pass rusher, which this defense needs bad. I won't say I'm not worried about it. I'm concerned, I guess, because them and us are putting such a huge thing on the offensive line, which we have to. Offensive line comes first, but we have to address the pass rush. Those are the two big things in the offseason for me. First, offensive line. And then you got to get that pass rush. I don't care if they don't add anybody. It's like, I mean, I want to keep everybody. Willie J3, I want to keep Lawson. I want to keep our good players. And then I want to add on to that. And the two biggest reasons or areas is in the trenches. We got to protect the quarterback, and we got to go get theirs.
Very true. And you know what? If we keep Carl Lawson, he was top five at rushing the quarterback. He was towards the bottom sacking the quarterback. But we still have Sam Hubbard, who is all over the place. I think one, maybe two more guys that are pure pass rushers will take care of our situation, because if the front line takes care of their business, that means our backfield, our defensive backfield, will definitely take care of theirs with Willie J, Trey Waynes, Jesse Bates, Von Bell. I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't have a great defense if we bring in that Shaq Barrett, or even if we don't and we take him third, fourth rounder. You can get some, you can get a hell of a defensive pass rusher in the third round, just as good as you can anywhere else this draft.
What round was Von Miller taking in? He wasn't a first rounder.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I mean, he was a Super Bowl MVP. So, yeah, you can find him. And that's the thing that I'm very curious, and it might go into the Bengals' favor this year. Because the Bengals, they upgraded their scouting department. They don't have a big one like everybody else does. We all know that. It has gotten better. But the Bengals rely on their coaches way more than the other teams do. And with not having the combine, these guys are going to actually have to work. They're going to work like the Bengals do. The Bengals, to me, to get the right players and everything, they always got to outwork everybody. And that you do that by, to me, watch a lot of game tape. And I think it's going to be based on a ton of game tape this year. And I think you can find guys.
You know, I do too. And, you know, a lot of people forgot about this guy who had a few solid games is Rinnell Wren. He's going to be back 100% healthy. And, you know, you've got him. He's going to be part of the rotation, part of at least fighting for a spot.
Well, that's the other thing we all have to remember too. Is so many. We had Hubbard. We were talking about Hubbard. He missed, what, five games? I mean, DJ Reader, our big free agent signing, he missed over half the season. So, I mean, we got these guys. I seriously doubt we're going to have as many injuries this year as we had last year. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but normally if you have a injury plagued season, which the Bengals did this year, you're not going to have that the next year. Now it's the NFL. People are going to get injured. It's going to happen. But we didn't see the full thing of what we got from DJ Reader. And him coming up the middle, and then Mike Daniels also, I think we're going to keep him. And if Hubbard stays healthy and we sign Lawson, I mean, those are good pieces. We need to add to those. And that's the thing. Like, some people were like, oh, I don't – you know, I saw getting J.J. Watt. I'm like, no. I'm not saying get him over Lawson. I want to keep Lawson. You got to keep him, and you got to add. You have to add. I've said this on the show. Stack talent. I want to stack talent. Stack talent on the offensive side of the ball. Stack talent on the defensive side of the ball. And I keep going back to the five-year run. If you watch the talent on that team, by the time we rolled into 2015, we had backups that could have started. You know, that's how talented we were. Now, a lot of them left in free agency, and the drafts stunk, and that kind of ended how it ended our our run there. But that's where you can't miss on a draft, and stacking talent is a huge, huge thing. Because, I mean, injuries happen. I mean, look Kansas City. If they had, you know, a better backup offensive line, maybe the Super Bowl would have been better. Who knows?
You know, that's true. And the thing about the draft, depending on what we do in free agency, we may take a pass rusher. But there are so many great interior linemen in the draft. There's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. There's plenty of good running backs out there. I could see us taking a third-round pick and getting somebody who would have went higher, I guess you could say, any other year.
Right.
As a pass rusher for the Bengals. Do I know his name? Do I know who he is right now? What team he plays for? No, but we could definitely end up with some sort of diamond in the rough, fourth, fifth round pass rusher. Well,
that's the thing with this draft. This draft is high volume of quarterbacks and high volume of offensive linemen. So more teams are going to take those at those positions because there's so many of them, I think. So if you do your due diligence, you could find, you know, the best pass rusher in the second, third, fourth round, because there's going to be others. Because, I mean, everybody, including the Bengals, need offensive linemen. Everybody except the Bengals need a franchise quarterback. We have one. So we're up there. So that's where I'm like, they just like they got to draft well, and they got to do what they did. Duke Tobin has to hit like he did last year. I mean, last year he hit. I was pretty happy with the draft. I mean, I wanted them to draft an offensive lineman, but the guys that they drafted, they hit. I mean, all of them were productive guys.
You know, exactly. And then you've got these little trade rumors around where, you know, Orlando Brown, the Ravens, wants to be gone. I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but, you know, hey, we got Giovanni. You've got Orlando Brown. It's going to help your team. It's going to help our team, even though we're in division. You never know. And that would take care right there of a tackle spot. Done. And right. I noticed that there was a report where it wasn't the Bengals even saying it, but it was Stripe Piper, one of them, you know, wondering what it would be like if we took Jonah Williams and moved him to guard, which I think is just way too soon to even be talking that type of stuff myself. But, you know, if we did do that, then we would be into another tackle situation, which would literally make us have to take Slater or Sewell in the draft. Wouldn't give us much of a chance if we decided to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Matt, I just took it down there. Matt just said, any D-line people in mind you would want to come. I mean, Shaq Barrett is the first one off the top of my head. That's the first one I would love to go get. But, I mean, there's multiple guys out there that we can get. And, like I said, we're going to have the money to do it. And like Bengal Jim said yesterday on the show, that Mike Brown wants to win. Katie Blackburn, well, they want to win. I mean, they're trying to do everything they can to win. I mean, and I'm defending the Bengals with this, where, you know, they're like, we never draft offensive linemen. We never, you know, we never take care of that. Well, they have. They just haven't worked. So there have been busts. So that's where I'm leery, and I've said this before, about drafting Sewell or Slater, because we have drafted guys and it hasn't worked out. So I would rather sign Tooney or sign or trade for Orlando Brown or sign Morton or sign Trent Williams. You know, sign two of those guys and you move on from there. And then if you can get DeMar Chase, that would be awesome. Now, hold on a second here. Okay. Gamer asked another one here. I wanted to bring this up. I was waiting on this one. He said, do you think the Bengals will get an indoor practice facility? I think that's in the works along with other things. But the thing is, I don't know if I knew this or not, but Bill Belichick, I don't necessarily know. They probably do have a practice indoor facility, but he doesn't use it a whole lot. You know, he's the type that wants the guys to practice in the elements and stuff. Now, I don't know if he holds every single practice outside, but it's not uncommon. And the thing is, I've never understood this. The Bearcats have a practice indoor facility. But the Bengals really want to use one. Can they work something out to use the Bearcats for a day or so? I mean, I don't know. Just a thought.
You would think so. And, you know, not to change subjects again real quick with what we were just talking about, but at the end of the day, when you watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play in the Super Bowl, how many guys other than Shaq Barrett, who is really a linebacker, he plays up on the line a lot, but
right.
How many guys could you name that were household names on that defensive line that got to
White? He could have been the Super Bowl MVP. That dude was a beast, a flat beast. So, I mean, you're right. I mean,
LSU. Yep.
Yeah. Just because you're a big name doesn't mean you can't, if you don't have a big name doesn't mean you can't play, you know?
Yep. Exactly right, man.
All right, let's see here. Let me go here. All right, J.J. Watt for 1 year could have a solid D-line and then get Jamar Chase in the draft. Yeah, I mean, I think it would help. I don't know what J.J. Watt's got left, but I would like to at least explore it. At least, you know, it's worth a phone call. You can't just sit there and go, oh, no, we can't get him. He's not going to come here. You got to, you know. And the other thing is Who is the linebacker that was rumored to be interested with the Bengals? I talked about that earlier this week. Is it Morton? No, Morton's a tackle. Anyway, it wasn't Tooney. Anyway, there's another linebacker. Was it with New England?
We knew Shaq Barrett was going to come, but I don't.
No, there's another one. I talked about it with I had a story on with Tooney and somebody else. Anyway, there's other linebackers.
Okay.
That are
Milano. Rumored. Milano.
Yes, that's it. Milano, that's it. Yeah. So there's other guys that are rumored to be interested in coming here. And the thing is now, the difference between now and then is guys actually are really serious about coming to the Bengals. You know, it ain't going to be the Warren Sapp thing where, you know, he's going to sign and then he just used us to get more money from the Raiders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a big difference between what it was and what it is now.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and well, I'll say it again. You know, half the guys on the Buccaneers defensive line, I had no idea who some of those dudes were. But right. You know what? They played together. They played great football. And at the end of the day, you know, we've got some pretty, I don't want to call them household names, but, you know, we've got Hubbard. We had Geno Atkins, which I probably won't now, but Mike Daniels, he's a solid player. Carl Lawson, solid player. We just got to get these guys in a groove, and we got to add just a little bit, like you're talking about, Watt, whatever. I'm not sold on Watt. I just don't think it's going to happen here. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have to have big, big names. I think we can get them out of the draft. There's so many different ways.
Well, I read another story, though. I actually didn't get to read the whole thing. But Hype Stripe was talking about the possibility of the Bengals moving Jonah Williams to guard and how they don't want to do that. I'm like, well, no, why would they want to move Jonah Williams to guard? I don't think Jonah Williams is a guard.
That's
right. If you can get a solid left tackle, you can easily move Jonah Williams to right tackle, and I think we'll be fine. That's where I keep saying you need a tackle, preferably a left tackle. And you move Jonah to the right, and you get Tooney. And if you can get Tooney at guard, and then, like I said earlier this week, maybe possibly draft that kid out of Grambling, who's a center and a guard, and he could replace Hopkins until Hopkins gets back. And if he's doing really well, you can move him over to guard or Trey at guard, which, I mean, they pay Trey a lot of money. It's awful lot of money to pay a guard. But, you know,
yeah,
there's lots of options that you can do. And then if you do all that, it opens the draft up, you know, for the different things that we can do. We're not handcuffed to having to take an offensive line. Like last year, everybody knew we were taking Joe Burrow. Excuse me, Joe freaking Burrow. I mean, and it wasn't even handcuffed. We were stupid not to take him if we didn't take him, you know. So, yeah. I mean, it's a completely different draft this year for the Bengals than it was last year. So we're still drafting for need. Once the Bengals get to the point where we're not drafting for need, and you can draft for the best player available, which in the second round, you might have to draft for the best player available. It just depends on how it goes and who they drafted and who's there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? Not to get off topic here, but I wanted to ask you a question, and I don't even think we really got to talk about it much. It's actually recording right now. I'll watch it as soon as we get done here. Trevor Lawrence's pro day was today.
Yeah.
He had it this morning. They're replaying it again. Well, it's almost over now. They replayed it at 4. It's almost 5 my time. But how do you feel about this upcoming surgery? A lot of pundits are saying, you know, it may hurt him. He may not be the first quarterback taken now, which I think's bull squat. But
yeah,
how do you feel on it?
I think anybody who thinks that is – a Zeke because it's his left shoulder, not his right shoulder. That's the reason he went and did his pro day today so he can hurry up and get the surgery done. So he's ready for mini camps, training camp, you know, at least beginning of the season. I think I read it might be like a 5-month recovery, but it's his left shoulder. So, I mean, if Jacksonville goes, you know, I don't think we're going to take Trevor Lawrence because he got shoulder surgery on his left shoulder, which is his non-throwing shoulder, y'all should be fired immediately, I think. But I don't see it affecting him at all. I mean, the one I'm curious about is the Jets. They were sold. The Jets were going to take Trevor Lawrence until they won too many games, and now they got second pick. I thought they were all set to take Justin Fields. I didn't think there's any chance that they wouldn't. But a lot of people have them possibly keeping Sam Darnold and adding either maybe Sewell or Chase, which I hope they don't. That's why that article that I posted on Houdet Nation a couple days ago about possibly them trading Sam Darnold and trading out of that pick,
right,
I think would be huge for the Bengals, because whoever is trading up to the number two pick, they're trading to get a quarterback.
Right.
So the more teams in front of us that take quarterbacks, like I said this, I think yesterday, I do think there's a chance that we could take four picks, the four picks in front of us, all four of them could be quarterbacks. There's a very good chance that if that happens, dude, everybody we've talked about will be sitting right there.
Slater, yeah.
Chase, Smith, Pitts, all five of them will be sitting there. So either way, at five, these teams are going to take quarterbacks. There's going to be one of those guys going to be sitting there. And it's going to be, especially if the Bengals sign a tackle and a guard, it's going to be, okay, what, you know, I won't say a hard decision, but another thing you said yesterday is if those guys are still sitting there, what if the Bengals trade down two spots? Let somebody else move up and try to take one of these guys. Hopefully they don't take the guy the Bengals want, and the Bengals can get another, you know, I mean, second round pick. I mean, if we're moving, if we're dropping down two spots, I'm not taking anything less than a second round pick. We're getting another, you know, we'll take their first and their second, you know, to get the number five spot. I wouldn't do it for a third or fourth round. I don't know.
No, if they don't want him. Yeah, if they don't want him bad enough, then don't move back. But if you do want him bad enough, we want your second round pick.
Right, exactly.
That's the way I look at it.
Jackson here says the Bengals need a trade for a kicker. Randy Bullock is terrible. I don't know if any NFL team has ever traded for a kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. I mean, they've signed them, I guess, or, you know, after they've gotten cut, but I don't know if anybody's ever traded for one. And if everybody gets on Fat Randy, and I'm yes, I know. He missed a game-tying kick and a game-winning kick, I know. But he also has kicked a 53-yard field goal twice. I'm not as sold that he's awful. Now, the thing is, he misses them when the pressure's on, which is not good. But that's something guys can get over. What I think is they need to bring another kicker in here and create a competition. You know, either draft one or find one off the street or whatever, and create a competition for him and Fat Randy and whoever. Because I'm not sold that Fat Randy needs to go. You know? I mean, hell, we kept Shane Graham here for how long? And he missed a lot of them. I mean, I'm not saying I want a kicker that misses field goals. We need a kicker who doesn't. But, you know, lots of teams need kickers. They're not the easiest thing to find, especially since they moved the field goals back farther. The field goal percentage isn't as a gimme as it used to be.
Oh, exactly. And you know, we did bring in Seibert, I think, from the Browns, or he was with the Browns at some point, and he was miserable. He was bad. So
yeah, I was ready for Fat Randy to come back.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the only thing that really gets to me about Randy is all those game winners or game tires that he could have put in that he couldn't put in. But like you said, then he can go out and kick a 53-year-old field goal right down the middle and hit the net like it's no problem. And it's just like, what's going on here?
With extra leg on it, yeah. Now, hey, Jeremy, did you see this comment? Look at this. Burrow will be back game one. Cincinnati Inquirer. Burrow is set to resume running this week, which is exactly 10 weeks from his surgery. Boom, baby, coming back game one. Told you.
I don't see coming back game one there, but I do see, you know, he's on pace.
You're reading it wrong, Jeremy. He's Joe freaking Burrow. He's coming back game one and going to dominate the NFL.
I can tell you right now, we need him game one, period, because we don't even know what our backup's going to look like as of right now. So,
right. All right, Keith. No, the Bengals should not go after J.J. Watt. The Bengals should go after free agent DN Trey Henderson of the Saints, who actually gets sacks. There you go. I can't argue with that. I mean, that's one of my pet peeves with Carl Lawson is he gets there and he can't get the guy down, you know?
Yep.
So it's trying to figure out what you do there, you know? If we need guys to get pressure and get the quarterback down. That's the biggest thing.
We need a guy that can bull rush, but they can also that also has moves in his back pocket. So he's not just bull rushing the quarterback all the time, but he can make you think he is, you know, flip around, whatever. He's got all the different moves that the guy, the swatting the guy's arm up, getting underneath him, whatever. We need a guy that can do all that rather than we had a Dunlap who just ran around the end. That's all he did every time. When he was younger, he could get to the quarterback. He got older, didn't do it quite as well. We got Geno who bull rushes, and he's great at that, and he's gave us a ton of sacks. But we need somebody that's got a little bit of both in them, you know, somebody that can make a move and bull rush somebody if needed.
Right, like Jacob, talk about the kickers here. Randy for 50 yards of the beast. Yeah. Look, yeah, that's the thing where I have a hard time. I'm like, dude, he can drill it from 50 yards out. I mean, and like you said, it hits the back of the net. Yeah. So that's where I'm like, it's kind of a mental thing, you know, maybe the pressure gets to him, which, you know, it's not the easiest. Everybody thinks it's easy to kick field goals. But right. I don't know. Well, it's also – these are all things that are interesting to talk about and try to figure out what in the world the Bengals are going to do in the offseason here. All right, let's see. Pardon the punctuation. What's up? Do you think we are really getting a Ring of Honor? I heard it was Photoshopped. I saw a video, dude. I saw a video of it. Yep. So, unless they can Photoshop a live video, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, I do think they're going to. And like Bengal Jim said yesterday, if they weren't, cat's out of bag now. They almost have to do it. Yep. So, and there's been lots of talk about it. So I think they're going to, you know, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And Bengal Jim sounded pretty, you know, adamant that we are going to have one and that it was a real video and photo, whatever. So hopefully he's right. And we do quickly.
All right, Jackson, you must be a Ohio State fan, but there's no way in hell I'm doing this. The Bengals should trade Mixon and a first rounder for J.K. Dobbins.
Oh, no. Okay, no. Let me tell you something. I love J.K. all day. Love him. Loved him at Ohio State. But when I saw that, you know, swapping, you're getting a younger guy, probably going to be just as good as Mixon is. But you had a first rounder in there. Ah, can't follow you, bro. I can't. No, not even. Yeah. I mean, we could have fun talking about swapping them, but adding a first round, hell no.
Exactly.
All love though.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Joe Mixon is, if he gets off his line, he's going to be a beast.
He is.
All right, gamer. Joe freaking Burrow will have 7 months to get his body back. If I was betting, I bet he will return week one. Take that, Jeremy. Take that.
I am not against him coming back. Look, I love Burrow.
You talked so much that he was going to get injured. You spoke it into existence. Speaking.
It's because I was.
And he's coming back game one. It's happening.
I was just trying to be the voice of reason that if we didn't do something quickly.
We're not doing reason. Nope. Well, no reason.
And look what happened. But, you know, the bad thing about him, man, is, you know, we knew the offensive line was horrible. Yeah, I said it. Probably shouldn't. But I don't believe in jinxes. I believe in what happens on the field and what you see happening on the field. And we saw what happened on the field. And that's why Burrow got hurt. It is what it is. And it sucks, but I pray he's back day one, because, and I'll say this again, like I've said 100 times, you know, this is going into really the last 4 years of our contract, and we've got to have Burrow. We've got to have Mixon. We've got to have a defensive line getting after the quarterback. We've got to have an offensive line that can keep Burrow healthy. If not, the fans and Cincinnati are going to have enough. And if that happens, then we're all screwed. Then we can all take down this crap in our backgrounds and put it and give it to our grandkids one day.
Exactly. Crip says, hey, you guys know 2021 is the 40th anniversary of the first Super Bowl run. I see the New Jersey's looking like the 81 team. Who day, baby. I saw a version of it on Who Day Nation, and it was kind of like the ones that you posted up earlier where the stripes are a little different. Yeah. They almost look like claws. I mean, I liked it because it wasn't so much, and that's kind of the new way the uniforms are going. They're not all wild. I mean, there's a lot going on with the Bengals, you know. Bengals uniform. You see it back here. There's a lot of stuff going on with it. So I think it's going to be more simple. I'm not a huge fan of those stripes. Like you said, it looks like, you know, Bengal claws.
They are claw marks to me. I don't even know how you could think that's a stripe. All I know is that is not the official jersey. So that's what makes me happy. I just want to see what it really, really, truly is.
Yeah. Now Jackson said, Mixon dances in the backfield for 5 seconds. Well, a lot of that is because he's dodging defenders. But, I mean, he also does that to wait for the hole to open up. And
he's a cutter.
Yeah. So, the thing is, everybody's got to remember, Mixon has not had a good offensive line the entire time he's been here. He hasn't. He's been running on crappy lines. I can't wait to see what happens when he gets a good one. You know, he might hit that hole right away.
Exactly. And you know what? To have if he wasn't a cutback running back, if that were Le'Veon Bell or somebody like that, he would be taken down in the backfield every time. He bounces around to try to stop this guy. He's coming through wide open, so I got to make a move to miss him. And then we got a free rushing linebacker coming after me, so I'm trying to get rid of him. And Mixon can never just hit a wide open hole like some of y'all seen in the Super Bowl with Fournette, where he went for 25 yards away. I mean, Mixon don't have those type of holes. He just doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Keith says, I am one stand in the Bengals. Wait, what did he say? I'm one stands in backfield for 5 seconds for a hole to run through. Yeah, exactly. That's he stands there waiting for a hole to open up.
So. Oh, yeah. That's the only reason. I mean, he wants to hit the hole, but when there's no hole there to hit, he's got to bounce. He's got to cut. He's got to do something because he's just going to get savaged and you know, for no yards whatsoever. And
all right, Chris Pagel, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Chris?
Oh, hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good.
Guess what? I'm taking time off my busy schedule. I'm at a wrestling show, getting ready to wrestle at 7 o'clock. But I went to every Cincinnati Bengals group site today, and I mailed a letter. I took time out to mail a letter to Mike Brown, and I was the first one to send you an email, Iceman, that we need J.J. Rotz to help help with the younger talent, because you don't know who's coming into the Bengals, and I think J.J. would do a good job to help the younger guys and show them what they need to do. JJ's got a lot of talent. Maybe not a lot of people don't like him, but he's got experience, and I think the Bengals would do good with him if Mike Brown would spend that little extra money and get JJ right. If he really want to listen to the fans, like Winger on him, since we calling his ass out, I really think that we need JJ Ross. We need people like us I'm sorry, excuse my language, but we need to get off our ass and put our foot down to Mike Brown. And we, the fans of Pate El Sadoy, we don't want Cincinnati to lose their stadium. I wish I lived in Cincinnati because I'd be all over that damn place, bugging the shit out of them. Probably get arrested when I don't lie. But right. I love my Bengals, and I'm taking time out. Let me show y'all something real quick. Show you, I'm not bullshitting you. I showed you the backstage area. But here's our camera, so we go and out.
If it don't check out just right.
So
then they have to do
awesome.
So on, just all so I'm taking back all my busy schedule since I've been doing this wrestling thing for 20 years. So I just want to come on here real quick and look. Say I got a Cincinnati mask that came in the mail.
I like
so,
it.
So only good thing I wish now, I just wish I had that little background behind a Jeremy D. I love to have a big picture like that above my wall. So I'm working on it. So my man cave is coming up. So Iceman and Jeremy, I apologize for maybe I got too emotional yesterday. So I just want to apologize, man up. Sorry what I say, but I just feel like it was probably the place to say it. But I apologize to the listeners, and I apologize. I just got too emotional, and God bless y'all. I hope y'all have a beautiful Valentine's Day with your wife and girlfriend. Just make sure you buy them a good steak. Because exactly. They don't want to give you some kids.
What are you talking about? I'm not buying her.
I just wish I had a woman, but God don't want me to. I don't know why. So 20 years being single, hey. But I guess my girlfriend and my wife is my Bengals and my wrestling, because I had never cheated on my wrestling and I would never cheat on my Bengals. So
there you go, buddy.
I just want to jump off the hill because the show starts at 7 o'clock Georgia time.
Oh, we lost him.
I didn't do it. He must have lost his connection.
I was going to ask him how much of cheap Mike Brown's money did he want him to pay a J.J. Watt to come be here for a year to mentor the defensive line. But anyway, that's cool.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. I was reading it today that the Inquirer also said today it expects that the Hill, who is the running backs coach they added today, that finalizes the 2021 coaching staff for Zach Taylor. Mm. And I actually meant to write that down. So, but yeah, they are, the coaching staff is filled, full, and ready to go. So I had to let Chris on. He was blowing it up. Kept coming on, telling me let him on. So I finally let him on. I was a little worried about what happened yesterday, but
yeah, and it's all good, Chris. You don't have to worry about it again, man. It's all in the past, buddy.
All over, man. Yep, we just talked Bengals here, man. Gotta talk about stuff that everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yep.
So, anyway, all right, let's get back into the chat here. All right, Keith, the only problem with Mixon is that I feel he should break more tackles at the second level. He breaks tackles at the line of scrimmage and the linebackers or safety get him down. Mixon is great, though.
You know what? I'll follow that up if you don't mind, Jeff, and then whatever there. But, you know, I feel like he breaks tackle. It's easier to break tackles in the second level when you have a head of steam, and Mixon is having to break tackles at the defensive line,
mm-hmm.
at linebacker. And then by the time you get to the secondary, these guys are already fast. And Mixon's really just getting to about three quarter of his speed by the time he's into the secondary. And a lot of times, if you go back and watch the tape on Mixon, they barely get him. I mean, they slap his ankle, trip him up, that kind of thing. So I've got to give him a little bit of love there, because if he had a full hole in the defensive line, had to make one linebacker miss and put the Jets on, I don't see anybody tackling him. But the problem is he's got so many runs where he has to first evade the defensive line, then make a move to beat the linebacker. And by then, you're looking at, you know.
I didn't kick you off, Chris.
You're talking about.
I got kicked off. Like, no, oh. Chris Bangle said, I got kicked off. Like, I didn't kick you off.
Oh, yeah, no.
I didn't do it.
But ahead, anyway, sorry. You know, yeah, with Mixon, it's just he's got to make so many cuts in one run that, you know, these guys are 3-5, 3-6. I mean, they're 4-5, whatever. My bad.
Right.
But they're going to catch you, you know, or they're going to get a hand on you. And if he didn't have to make as many cuts as he had to, I could see him being an even bigger home run threat than he is. But once we get that line shored up, get some guys in the backfield, some guys swinging around. Mixon's in for a big year.
Well, the thing is, and I've said this before, you know, he hasn't had a good offensive line. What is this, his fourth year, I think? I think it is. Mm-hmm. Three out of his 4 years, he's went over 1,000 yards, if I'm doing it off the top of my head. I know he's had at least 3 years of 1,000 yards with a crappy offensive line.
Right.
I can't see how anybody says that he's not a good running back. I mean, how he doesn't do this, how he doesn't do that. I'm like, dude, the dude's a beast. I mean, I cannot wait to see him with a good offensive line and a focal point. And that's one of the things, too, where Bengals fans got upset that we didn't run the ball enough. It's hard. If you run the ball first and second down and you get nothing, you have to throw the ball. So, I mean, if you can get 5, 6, 7 yards on your first, second down with Mixon, that opens up everything. I mean, look, again, I hate to keep going back to the Buccaneers and Super Bowl, but look what they did. They ran the ball like crazy, and that opened up play action. That opened up everything else. It all works together. That's how football is played. It's the most team-oriented sport there is, because if the running game's going, that makes the passing game work. If you're getting pressure on the quarterback, that helps the secondary. If the offensive line's working, that helps the quarterback. That helps the running game. That helps the offense or the wide receivers. That helps all of it. So, I mean, that's where I don't understand where people are hard on Mixon. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I gotta get this question. Jackson's asked this twice. Who are my Bengals bobbleheads? Let's see here. TJ, Carson, Chad, and Shane Graham. So they're old. They're older ones. I like to get some new ones. I want to get a Joe Burrow one here eventually. And that one's going. Yep, that's going front and center. So now Carl says we should bring back AJ Green, which I don't. The only way I'm bringing back AJ Green is if he gives us a team friendly deal, and I still probably only sign him for a year. I mean, I love AJ. AJ is one of my favorite players, but he hasn't done anything. And he didn't do anything last year with Joe Burrow. I mean, Michael Thompson was more productive. Alton Tate was more productive. I mean, I don't – AJ just – there's glimpses. Every once in a while, I saw the old AJ. And, you know, as it goes, being a Bengal and a Bengals fan, he'll probably go somewhere and – do awesome. And everybody's like, well, we should have signed him. Like, well, he didn't do that here. He had a whole year and he didn't do it. So I'm the AJ thing, I think, is ship has sailed. I mean, the thing is, honestly, if AJ's gone, Gino's gone, they're it. They're the only two, I think, left for the playoff run. That's it. Everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
So and that's kind of where I think Zach Taylor is at, too. I think he wants to move on from the past. He wants to get his players in here. You know, he wants to get guys who want to play for him. And I'm not sure. I mean, AJ hasn't said it. Maybe he doesn't like playing for Zach, you know? I mean, just the way his attitude is sometimes, the way he looked, you know, look like we had a controversy where I think he said, I don't want to play or I'm not going back in, or which, you know, he never said that he actually said that, or somebody reading his lips. So, you know, it's like the Marvin guys loved Marvin. You know, and I think we're slowly getting those guys out for better or worse, you know, but Marvin's not the coach anymore. Zach Taylor's the coach. I think Zach's trying to get his guys in here.
Yeah, you know, and I do too. And watching AJ this year was unbelievable. It wasn't like we weren't trying to get him the ball. If anything, it was like we were forcing the ball to AJ, and that was hurting our offense more than it was helping it, because we kept looking for AJ and he was giving up on a route, or he was half-assing a route, or he was, you know, he had a ball, you know, right in his chest and he dropped it. Or there, it just wasn't the AJ Green that we were used to watching.
You never saw every once in a while you see AJ just snatch the ball like he used to do.
Yes,
you know, just, he would go up and it would bam, and it was caught, and it, you know, that's just, you know, I saw that every once in a while, and I would get excited. I'd be like, you know, you and me, we talked during the game, or I'm like, that's the AJ, that's the AJ I know, and I saw it very few times, and it wasn't like he didn't have opportunity, and people were saying, well, he gets double teamed. He's always gotten double teamed. Yeah. You know, that he's AJ Green. AJ freaking Green. I mean,
he was a rookie. He was right. Double teamed. He was one of the best.
So I'm not banging on AJ at all. I'm just there is other pressing needs that this team needs and to spend money on. So what are you pointing at the back of your
AJ Green right here, man.
Oh, right there. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, he was my boy completely. Yeah,
I mean, I got an AJ Green jersey too. So I mean, I love AJ.
Love him. But man, it was like a mirage. It was just like, it wasn't a mirage, but it was just like what I was watching, I couldn't believe it. And then, like you said, we got about three, maybe four glimpses into, oh, AJ's all right, now he's got this figured out. And it just never come to fruition at all, ever. Yeah. Just
Jerry says, do you guys know if AJ is still hurt since he didn't play like did in the past? I don't know. I mean,
he's had 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of like Gamer says here. He says Father Time caught up with him. That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, he had what, 3 years of injuries, and this year he wasn't actually injured, quote unquote, but he didn't play that good. So.
Who's to say he don't go somewhere else and have a pretty good year? I don't know.
John Ross. I'm waiting for John Ross to do that. He go to Kansas City or something. And
that freaked me out.
That pissed me off. Oh, my goodness. I'd be so irritated with that. That's probably what's going
to
happen.
But look at Gronk and look at Brady. They went to the Buccaneers, never played there before, didn't know their system, and they both had great years and a great Super Bowl. So,
right.
I don't know. I can't figure it out for the hell of me.
I mean, Gronk was retired.
Exactly. He was partying on a yacht.
All right, Bengals report. Can't we just move on from AJ? He's been a great, but it's about time. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I love AJ, but I don't. Everybody's kind of in agreement. It's all. You know, Keith says time to move on for AJ. I mean, I like I said, AJ is one of my all-time favorite players. To go from Chad Johnson to him, and I love Chad, but Chad's act got a little old after a while, and I think it hurt the Bengals more than it helped. AJ, you never saw any of that stuff, and I love that about AJ. I mean, I like trash talkers, but I want trash talkers when they're in the game doing it, you know. Chad would do it before the game, after the game. He gets sponsorships. It's just kind of like, it was all about me. And I don't, those teams, when you have too many guys that are me, they don't win a lot. We need guys who are about the team. And AJ Green was always about the team, I think.
Yeah, he was. He was until he started kind of blabbing off this last year. Then his stats went down. And I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know what it is, but it is what it is, man. Go ahead.
All right, Crown's asking about the UC game tonight. I got it written down here. The game is versus Temple, 7 o'clock tonight, about a half hour from now. It's on ESPN Plus. This will be the 35th meeting. Cincinnati leads 25-9 overall. Cincinnati leads 10-2 at home versus Temple. They also lead 9-4 in Philly and 6-3 at neutral sites. So they just beat them not too long ago, February 4th. 36-60. Now that was their first game that they came back from almost a month off, and they won the last two. So hopefully Brandon will get them going and we will have another win tonight. I'm very excited and pleasantly surprised as the way the Bearcats have played since they came back. Cause honestly, they weren't playing that great before the pause. And then they came back And DeJulius played that Temple game. He played the best game I've ever seen him play. And the Bengals need that. Bearcats need that from him. They need a guy to step up and be that leader. And the thing is, to give Bearcat fans a hope, we need to get this, you know, straightened out, get it going, get on a run. The only chance the Bearcats have of making a dance is to win the AAC tournament. And there's talent on this team. We're going to have to go through Houston. Now, I'm so happy that we did not play Houston right off the bat after our pause. So we've got a chance to get our legs under us, get some practices together, and see what's going on to hopefully improve upon what we've done. And the last two games, they played the best I think they played all year, which is crazy to me because, like we're just talking about, you know, Gronk retires for a year and he comes back and plays like he hadn't missed a step. The Bearcats were off for a month and they played better than they did before. So, dude, I say it all the time. That's why you play the game. That's why I kept telling Georgia fans when the Bearcats are going to play in the Sugar Bowl or the Peach Bowl. Oh, you're going to get crushed. Oh, really? Well, we'll find out. That's why you play the game.
So, Temple is, you guys are playing them twice in a row, or was there
a game in between? It was Temple, then it was Tulane, now it's Temple again. Because it was supposed to have been Memphis last night, right? Thursday, yeah. It was supposed to be Memphis last night. That game got postponed, I think, because Memphis has COVID issues. And so they moved the Temple game here because if I'm getting this right, the original, it gets confusing, but the original Temple game was supposed to be in Cincinnati. But since we postponed it, then it got moved to somehow it was supposed to be here. Anyway, they were supposed to play Thursday. That didn't happen. They're playing Friday tonight versus Temple. After that, I don't know. I run Bearcat Ruckus. I'm trying to put it up, you know, on the show group on the page, the picture. I'm always trying to put, you know, when the game is on, you know, and I'm like, oh, we're playing Thursday. Then I'm like, I get done with the show Thursday, get ready to watch the game. I'm like, oh crap, they're not playing. I'm like, what the heck? Then I went on my phone. I'm like, oh, it got postponed. Well, I'm a good sports talk show host. I told everybody the game was tonight, but I was wrong.
No doubt. What's Temple? Is Temple ranked? I mean,
no, Temple's not ranked.
You got some couple ranked teams coming up though, don't you? Where maybe you can kind of make a little splash. Is any at all?
Well, yeah, we got Houston. I mean, off the top of my head, that's the only I can think of. I don't know if any other American conference teams are ranked. We got so many losses, it's going to be hard for us to get in, I think. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. If we go on a, you know, 10-game run, because the thing is, all these games they missed, they're going to have to make them up. And they're going to have to make them up quick.
True.
You know, you usually only play, you know, two games a week. You play like on a Wednesday, Saturday, or a Tuesday, Thursday, or something like that. You know, they might be playing three games in 1 week for a couple weeks to try to make these games up that were gone. So it's going to be a sprint to the end. Now that is if they don't have any more COVID issues, which hopefully, knock on wood, they won't, and we can get going. But I'm so looking forward. I want to get through February, just get through this month, get everybody healthy, get to March Madness. Let's get to the bubbles or whatever they're going to do. Because Bo Egger brought this up here, and a local radio guy here, that he's like, this year of all years would be the year that they shouldn't play the conference tournaments. And I completely disagree with him on that. Biggest reason, and he's saying it because COVID, and I understand what his point is. But everybody's done bubbles. I mean, you could do a bubble for these conference tournaments. You can do it. We've been getting pretty good at this. And for teams like Cincinnati, like Kentucky, like North Carolina, like Duke, these teams that aren't ranked and they're going to have a hard time getting into the dance, they need these tournaments. The NCAA needs these teams in the dance so people will watch it. So I don't agree with what Mo said when they should cancel it. I mean, you can't cancel it. The thing is, you can't cancel everything, man. We gotta get going here. Sorry, I got off on my little soapbox there. But, I do think that.
We don't need another 2020 starting up here. I mean, let's get playing some ball, man. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, shoot, here in Ohio, we're We are not under a curfew anymore. We can, dude, we can go to a bar and we can stay there till it closes if you want, because COVID doesn't attack after 10 o'clock anymore.
Love it.
The buffets are actually opening back up here in Cincinnati. So if you want to go to a Chinese buffet or something, you can go. We are allowed.
Wow. Either that's the smartest move or the dumbest move I've ever seen. I'm happy.
The thing is, we're all snowed in here. It's cold as hell, and there's snow on the ground, so nobody actually wants to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Now we can.
Smart politicians. Very smart.
Bengal Kyle 513. I think you're new. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
They got to win the American tournament to get in. Yeah, I agree. I do honestly think it's doable. I think the Bearcats can go on a run. I mean, they got the talent. They do. They just got to figure it out. And Brandon has said this, that it's been such a hard year with COVID and so many new players and everything. I mean, they couldn't even practice. I mean, this really hurt Chris Vogt. Chris Vogt should have been able to take this summer and really bulk up and get some muscle, but he really didn't. He's about the same as he was. I mean, he weighs a lot, but he's not upper body strength enough for me. I think he gets pushed out of there too much and not be able to go to the gym, not be able to work out. So I think that's really hurt him a lot, you know?
Well, yeah. And the ACC isn't exactly on the top of their game this year, like they normally are. So, you know, I could see you guys, you know, coming in there. I'm sure you'll be a big underdog either way. Taking that thing, and then you never know. Let them dance. That's what I say. My gosh,
we're going dancing, baby.
Yeah, with all this thing going on, let's dance it up, man. Where's the disco ball, man? Come on. I mean, let's do it.
Well, with the Bucknuts, you ain't got to worry about that. I'm pretty sure you guys are gonna make the tournament. You guys are. Joe Lenardi has you as a number one seed.
Yeah, hopefully we stay there. I would love to play North Texas State or whatever it is that they get.
Well, you got a game Saturday. Who are the Buckeyes playing Saturday?
Saturday we are playing Indiana, and ooh, Indiana is normally a big time basketball school. They're another one having a tough year, kind of like Cincinnati, I guess.
Are they ranked? Is Indiana ranked? Or
no, I do not believe they are this year.
All right. So I can't even keep track of it because it's so hard. Teams don't play for so long. You're used to being good or aren't good. I mean,
I mean, it's like Michigan, for crying out loud. They're up there. I mean, we all, you know, but you got Indiana, one of the best, you know, I believe it was Maryland. They were 10-9. We beat them. Of course, we beat all the big guns as well. Most of them. But you never know. It's a crazy basketball year. But I'll tell you right now, man. Kyle Young, EJ Liddell, Washington, CJ Walker. I mean, if this team don't make it to the Final Four, I am going to be devastated.
Oh, you guys got a good team. And like I said, I mean, if my Bearcats aren't in there, I'll be going for the Buckeyes all the way.
But my man,
if the Bearcats are in, you know, it's Bearcats, then Buccaneers. Yeah. Buckeyes. Too many bees around here. Yeah. Buckeyes, yeah. Bengals, Bearcats, Buccaneers.
I knew what you meant, Jeff.
They're like, hello, my name is Jeff, and I have a sports show, and I can't talk sometimes. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, it's about after 6:30. I think I'm about ready to roll on out of here. How about you, Jeremy?
I'm ready to rock and roll, bro.
All right. Oh, hey, I forgot one thing. We got to get real quick. We talked about this, and we forgot about it. We almost forgot. We got to get the Zeke of the Week. Now.
Hang with us, guys.
Yeah, just listen. You guys can comment on this, too, if you want, before we get out of here. Now, the Zeke of the Week. I used to do this when I would do videos, I would do it every Friday. And I would do the live stuff. We get talking and I forget about it. But my Zeke of the Week. Now, I'll explain what Zeke of the Week is. Zeke of the Week is somebody who has irritated you or frustrated you or said stuff that you're like, what? Man, you a Zeke. Shut up. And my people are the media and fans of other teams that are saying, Tom Brady, he doesn't deserve to win any more Lombardi trophies. You know what he did? He took that Lombardi trophy and he threw it from one boat to another. That is sacrilegious. What if he didn't catch it? What if this happened? What if that happened? He's one too many. It doesn't mean that much to him. Bullcrap. Dude, they were partying their asses off. You know how many times that trophy's been dented? I mean, Gronk dented one of them that they won before. And, okay, say it fell in the river. Okay, they'll go down and get it. The river's only like 12 feet deep. It'll be fine. So anyway, all these guys who say that that was terrible, he shouldn't have done it, yada, yada, yada. Another thing, you got to look at it this way. They were in a quote-unquote bubble, getting tested twice a day, every freaking day for the whole football season. They were ready to cut loose, and they deserved it, and they did. So everybody who thought Tom Brady shouldn't have thrown a Lombardi trophy, you guys are my Zeke of the week. Who you got, Jerry?
Mine are about the same way, too, when it comes to Tom Brady not wearing a mask, going inside a wide-open building, and telling Jim Nance to come closer if you want to interview me. All those people going, oh, my God. Those are partly mine, too. But mine is, as you can maybe see, I have horrible handwriting here, but it is Mark Walton, Pizza Hut.
Pizza boy.
Don't get arrested over a Pizza Hut order. We've all been there. Stuffed crust. We don't get stuffed crust. You wanted onions. You didn't get onions. But don't make that $20 pizza cost you $150 in bail money, my friend.
And go to jail.
You do live in Cincinnati, so think about it. Come on. That's exactly. Mine.
All right. You guys can post your Zeke of the Weeks after the show or during the show or whenever you
on the ice bar, wherever
ice bar, yeah, you put on the ice bar and you just, you know, make comments there. All right, so let me get to this here. I'd like to thank Hoo Day Nation, Ohio State Bucknuts for letting me live stream. They let me live stream on their shows or on their groups every single day. I appreciate those guys. The most time they put me up at the announcements, and that helps the algorithm. We had 400 and something views just on Facebook yesterday, which is awesome. 127 on YouTube. And I always say, if you guys are watching on any of the Facebook groups, which I put them on mine too, go to YouTube, try to subscribe there, watch it there. Give me a thumbs up. We only got one thumbs up. So I invite you to join Hoo Day Nation and the Ohio State Bucknuts. Also, the groups that I help run, Bengals Brigade, Bearcat Ruckus, Rocker Reds, and the Ice Bar. Now, I have a question. Me and Jeremy have discussed this, and I'm thinking about it. Maybe I'll put it out to the viewers here. I'm live streaming on Hoo Day Nation, and I run Bengals Brigade, and I've kind of thought about shutting Bengals Brigade down and just merging with Hoo Day Nation. I'm just curious what everybody's thoughts are on that. Should I do that, or should I not? Should I just keep doing my own thing, or go with Hoo Day Nation? Let me know. Now, the Ice Bar, one of the best pages we have. It's our show page, me and Jeremy. Do lots of silly memes, silly tech talks, show stuff, just, you know, whatever we're doing. I might take a picture of the snow. Actually, I put a video up of me and my wife parking our car and walking home the other night. So there's all kinds of stuff. And trust me, the video is coming out. I'm trying to work on it of our trip. I might be starting to work on that this weekend. All right. So I invite you to follow me also on my other social media platforms there, all under Strawberry Ice. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and me and Jeremy do some silly TikToks. Check out the podcast later on tonight. Give me a 5-star review, like, rate, review. I'm on YouTube, or not YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. YouTubers, we're at 830. That's great. Let's keep it rolling. Try to get to 1,000 as fast as we can. Other than that, Jeremy Duke, you let us roll on out of here.
I sure will, man. And I just wanted to say on top of it that we've got a ton of people that watch via elsewhere, whether it be Hoo Day Nation, Bucknuts, even we run Bengals Nation tonight. If you guys watch the show, just click your little YouTube app, Sports with Strawberry Ice. You don't even have to put the whole thing in there. You'll see us pop up. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button.
Hit it.
And you guys are on. And that way, at the end of every show or during it, you can give us a thumbs up. Because even though a thumbs up is ridiculous, we've talked about it before.
Hey, thumbs up. Hey.
But it helps.
Good job, guys. You did great. You talked about Shaq Barrett today. Whatever. All right. We love the thumbs up. So the more we get, the better. It's going to help us keep rolling in. And it actually shows, it pops our show up to more people. Like if they would put in sports on YouTube, the more likes, the more comments, the more viewers we have, it makes those people that just put in sports, our show pop up towards the top.
Honestly, if you guys go to YouTube and you type in sports with, I pop up, or I should say we pop up, or
there you go.
Second, third. So there I mean, write the whole thing in. It's just sports with, and it pops up.
Yep.
And so we're trying to take strawberry ice
worldwide. And we're not even on a yacht yet. We may be doing it from a yacht one day.
That'd be awesome. I want to do that. Work on that. I want to do it from a yacht. Yeah. And then we take the Lombardi Trophy when the Bengals win, and we throw it from one boat to the other. That'd be awesome.
We'll throw it in the ocean because
we shoot up beers.
We're that good. We're that good. We'll toss it in the ocean. We'll let the fish feed on it. All right.
Getting a little excited. I'm sorry.
But anyway, guys, as always, and like I normally end this show, you know, just want to say thanks to everybody watching, all that good stuff. And as always, never forget, you live in Cleveland, you don't live in Cincinnati.
Wait, hold on a second. Somebody started drinking early.
I've got all these notes written down here. Let's try this one more time. And as always, you don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati and in North Alabama. And we will see you guys next time. Keep telling your friends. Keep telling your family. Give us the thumbs up. I'm out of here.
That was awesome. All right. Love you guys. Hooray! Let's go Reds. Let's go Bengals. Let's go Bearcats. We're playing tonight, 7 o'clock. And other than that, that's just sports, baby. See ya!